What's up, guys? Welcome to Instagram Marketing Secrets, episode 105. Today, I'm doing a recap episode of the interviews with Brooke Wanling or Brooke Allison from episode 103 and with Sarah Hagstrom from episode 99. The reason why I'm combining them is because they are both coaches. And although their episodes are very different, especially in the way that they explain things, overall, we are talking about what it takes to be a coach on Instagram, how you should set up your accounts, how you should pursue followers, what types of sales processes you should have. So overall, it was not that hard for me to combine into one episode. I just went back and listened to them both just so I could make sure I didn't miss anything. And both of them are awesome. These girls really bring it. So if you are a coach in any capacity, whether or not you're a health or a mindset coach like they are, if you're in fitness, literally any type of coaching, or even just a personal brand, you'll probably get a lot of great information. The Brooke interview really dives deep onto just mindset overall for like the first 45 minutes. And that is going to be super applicable to any of you that just need a little bit of help believing in yourself, not letting anxiety take you over, and keeping your focus when building your business. You're really going to like that episode. So on today's episode, the cool thing for you guys is that coaches are actually not my dream customer. So it's probably not the smartest idea for me to have as many coaches as I've had on for interviews, as well as being interviewed by them, because I don't have a course for coaches. And what that means for you guys is that I'm just going to tell you everything I know about running coaching on Instagram. No information held back. It's just, you guys aren't my main market. And it's because when I started my Instagram podcast, my success was in e-commerce at that point, and I had to learn how to build a podcast as well as a coaching business and an Instagram around coaching. And now it is over 10,000 followers, but it took me like a year to gain my first 2,500 or so. So it really was a long road of me figuring it out. I was able to build the e-commerce brand a lot quicker, and there's just so many different techniques, but I'm not at the point where I'd want to come out with a course for Instagram coaches. What I do though is, if you want extra help than what you're going to learn on today's episode, feel free to DM me, or I'll leave some links below where you can apply to work with me one-on-one for a few months, or you can even just do a couple calls here and there if you think I can help you get to that next level with your coaching business. Otherwise, I'm going to be laying out a ton of awesome information in this episode, mostly based off of what those girls talked about, but then piggybacking off of it and giving you some implementation strategies. And by the end of this, you're going to know exactly what you should start doing today even. I know you might be listening to this episode a little bit late because it's coming out later in the day, but I think you're still going to be able to squeeze in a little bit of some more solid work hours if you want to, and take some action right at the end of this podcast episode. So before we get into it, just a quick word from my sponsor, and talk to you soon. All right, let's do this. We got a lot to cover. And before I start, I just want to say, if you like today's episode, please share it with a friend or another coach that you think could really benefit from it. I'm really going to lay out a lot of information that I've never covered before. Some things that I've covered on other podcasts before in interviews, but things that I haven't brought to you guys. So if you're a coach, this is going to be pretty much my all-encompassing episode of all of the main tips that I have on coaching right now. But I'm sure I'll develop, of course, as a coach in the future, and hit you guys with more info later. But yeah, get ready to take some notes. So the first thing we're going to cover is the mindset to being a coach nowadays and putting yourself out there, imposter syndrome, things like that. Then we're going to cover how to set up your account, your niche, your bio, and make sure that your account looks good when people get there and they know what you're doing and you can actually convert clients and followers. Then we're going to focus on what your content should be, that you can actually get results and followers from it. A lot of people have ideas of what their content should be, but if it's not gaining you followers right now, then obviously it could use some help. Then we're going to talk about the sales processes behind being a coach online and all the different ones that you can do. So let's get started. So the mindset. A lot of people, the major things that they got to get over when they start becoming a coach or deciding if they want to, is imposter syndrome, which is, why do I know more than other people? Why should I even be a coach. I don't think I'm good enough yet. I haven't had enough results to rightfully do this. I don't know if my program's worth it. I feel weird charging people. And even if you are just a small percentage of these things, it affects you. And that's the thing. It never goes away. The imposter syndrome doesn't ever fully go away. It just gets smaller as you go. But even if you were, let's say for me in particular, it's a year from now, I'm doing really well. I have 30,000 followers. I've made over $1 million selling courses, things like that that have a chance to play out for me within the next year or so. Then I get invited to speak on some stage and I'm opening three speakers before Tony Robbins. I would probably still feel imposter syndrome at that moment, right? I'd be like, oh my God, like I'm opening for Tony Robbins, the most successful speaker and coach ever. So like, this is crazy. Like it will never go away is what I want to get at. And you just got to know that wherever you are, there are people below you. And you only can have so many clients as a coach anyways. Most coaches run some type of, especially when they're new, a business that's just based off of doing calls and you're just essentially trading time for money, which is definitely not a bad way to do it at the beginning, because that's the most that you can charge someone right away is just doing a call. And then you don't have to set up all this tech and create a course and establish the marketing for the course and all of this stuff. You just need to sell calls, which is going to come from you finding clients, getting them on a free call, and then closing them on a few months of coaching is usually how that's going to go. So in that case, let's say that you would be happy with 10 clients. Are there at least 10 people out there that you're ahead of? Because typically for coaches, their ideal client is themselves 1 to 2 years ago at the minimum. But that's all it has to be. So for me, guys, I haven't really said this that much, but when I started the podcast, I had been in e-commerce for like a year and a month or something like that. I really hadn't been in it that long. So, but now I've been in it for 2.5 years. So part of it is if I was just starting the podcast now, that would be really bad for a number of reasons. There's a lot of you that have gotten great information and from the podcast and really been able to run with it. There's a lot of success that has rippled from me just starting my podcast. There's a lot of podcasts that have been started from me starting my podcast and allowing Anchor to advertise on my podcast way too damn much, I gotta say. Guys, I am trying to get new sponsors and Anchor just sucks at finding them. So I will be looking to get new advertising sponsors soon. Thank you for dealing with hearing the Anchor and Spotify ads over and over. Feel free to skip through them too. And I'm only saying that because I've been advertising them so long. I'm sure you have both of the apps if you're ever going to get them by now. But yes, from those Anchor advertisements, a lot of people actually have started podcasts and reach out to me. I can think of about 3 at the minimum that have been inspired to start podcasts. And I actually started a podcast from listening to someone else's podcast and hearing an Anchor ad myself. So, subconsciously, I had already heard that. And then the day I started it was for, you know, other reasons in addition to that. But I had certainly heard of Anchor in the past from an ad on a podcast. Anyways, what I'm getting at is because I started, I was able to accelerate my growth. And then all I had to do was just, like, if you start at a 4, coaching people that are 1, 2s, and 3s on a 10 scale, and then after a couple months, now you're a 5, then you're just slowly expanding your audience. And my first episodes are about setting up your account, hashtag strategy, geotags, things like that, that are a little bit more basic information. I had only done so many things really well at that point, and I think I had about 22,000 followers. And for me, it would have been so easy for me to have imposter syndrome when I started the podcast, because there are so many accounts out there that have way more followers than me and years on me. Of course, I had been an Instagram personal user, but I had never really grown an account. I just did really well for someone who does something something in their first year. I looked for an Instagram podcast. I couldn't find anything that wasn't extremely basic information, like level two information. And I said, look, I'm a level four and I'm going to be level five soon. I'm not getting out of this industry for a while. I'm sure I'll be seven, eight eventually. And nowadays I do probably consider myself more in that seven to eight range. I still have some room to grow. But the fact of the matter is that there wasn't anyone who was better than me that was also doing a podcast. And part of that reason why is probably because most of them had imposter syndrome. And they're like, I only have 100,000 followers. There's people with a million. I don't know if I should start it. And I'm over here with like 20 something K. Like, yeah, I mean, I know more than any other podcast. So I'm going to start it right now and start owning that space. And what that did is it put my growth on a fast track, because now, because I've been coming out with a podcast every single week and we're at episode 105, that I've had to keep up with you guys. Like, I've had to learn faster than you guys, and it's not hard to do so. If you're on a hike and you're like 40% of the way up and there's people who are starting at 0%, they're probably not gonna catch you unless you just stop growing completely and they are just running up that hill. You're probably gonna beat them to the top, or you know, there really is no top in this metaphor for success and learning. It just keeps going up and up and up. But all I have to do is, if I keep coming out with a podcast episode every week, I work on my e-commerce business all the time, which I am a full-time entrepreneur, and that right there is typically enough for me to stay ahead of a lot of you, because a lot of you are still part-time entrepreneurs and you can only give 10 to 20 hours to your business per week, and I give 50 to 80. I don't even know what I give, but I thoroughly enjoy doing it. So even on my off day, I'm probably still going to do something. I'm probably going to listen to a podcast on the drive to my appointments. I'm going to read books. I usually read. I've been really off and on, and I've been kind of the same with the gym, unfortunately, too, like where I get like, yeah, I'm going every day, or I'm reading a chapter every day. But I still do read a minimum of about seven or eight success books or just very relevant marketing books a year. And that is more than most people, even if I just do seven or eight. But if I got that number up, if you read a chapter in a book a day, you'll stay ahead of over 95% of the world. So wherever you're starting at, know that you are trying to find people who are below you. And if you read a chapter of a book a day, or you just keep working and you just keep applying what you're doing, and you work with the intent of also, how would I teach this later? And that is really what happened for me, is when I started teaching Instagram marketing, it rapidly helped my e-commerce business, because now everything that I was doing with that e-commerce business, I wasn't just doing to just test it out. I was doing with the intention of, how can I do this and do it so well and systematically that I can then turn it into teachable content after? Because if I can teach it to you guys, then I have a very strong understanding of it myself. And what I've learned from coaching with people in the past, like there's been some people I've done coaching calls with in my old sales job that really weren't that big on coaching other people. They were just extremely gifted at sales, and they weren't really that good at explaining what they were doing, and they wouldn't even know what they were doing some of the times. I'd have to go on appointments with them and see what they're doing, and I'd be like, wait, do you say this because of this? And did you say this because of this? And they're like, oh yeah, I guess I did. And they wouldn't even have that level of understanding of having translated their advanced information into basic information. And that right there is the main job for most coaches. If you are a coach like me, who's basically just here's marketing information, like if you're a mindset coach, it's not as cookie cutter, here's the information. But if you are a business coach or someone who just gives direct information, then your main job is to take advanced information in your industry, apply it and learn it yourself, then reteach it to the rest of the world in a more simplified manner through your own examples. That's literally what teaching is. And when people back in my sales job, when I was kind of known as one of the better public speakers, or I at least put a lot of effort into my public speaking, which would obviously lead me to doing better than the people who would prepare the night before. But I put a ton of effort into my speeches, and they'd say, how do you come up with this original content? And I say, well, really, at the root of it, it's not original content. It's content that I learned from someone else, applied, learned, made my own mistakes, got my own examples, and then I retaught it in the way that here's this information that you've been taught before and that I was taught before, and then here's how it finally clicked for me. Here's when I had an epiphany on it with this story of how it finally made sense to me. Here are the things that, even though I was taught how to do this, still were a struggle for me, and then that is my teaching topic. And that right there will resonate with so many people who would have made those same mistakes and who really identified with my example. So if all you do is consider yourself, like, you don't have to be an originator of amazing knowledge. You just have to be really good at translating advanced information and then, you know, getting personal experience with it, not just taking the info and giving it out, okay? That's totally different. Of just, I take advanced info and then I regurgitate it, you're probably not gonna have your own way of talking about it, which is not gonna make it original. But if you go out there, get advanced information, apply it, and then reteach through your lessons, you'll have an endless stream of content right there, and it's based on your own experiences and your own results. So there's not really question behind whether you're giving at least decent information or not. So you shouldn't, these are just some of the things I'm trying to logically handle why you shouldn't be scared of imposter syndrome. Something I talk about on the episode with Sarah is that
hey, Bar and Grill fans, it's Jim with Madhouse Bar Talk, where me and my co-hosts sit around and talk about the things going on around Madhouse Bar and Grill in Elyria, Ohio. The whole conversation is unscripted, uncensored, and unedited. Anywhere where you stream podcasts, just remember, Madhouse Bar Talks, baby.
Sometimes the most advanced coach in the world is not what a beginner needs. You need someone who's slightly ahead of you. If I was a skateboarder, I always go to that example, and I'd probably do better learning from someone who was like intermediate, because I'm a beginner, even though I did it for years, I just never learned how to do it very well at all. I'd probably learn from someone better who was just a little bit ahead of me or a few years ahead of me than Tony Hawk or any of the pros that are, you know, are just like, oh, I need to teach you how to do an ollie. Man, I haven't taught someone how to do that basic of a trick for a long time. I've been mentoring other people. And that's the same thing in business. Usually the very advanced guys aren't mentoring basic people. And so their problems are so different, and they haven't even done your basic job in a long time. Like, a lot of times the advanced entrepreneurs, they can't teach the basic ones because it's been years since they've done it themselves. And since then, they've just delegated it to a team that has done these more basic jobs of, how do I set up a Shopify site? They're like, oh, I did that forever ago and I haven't done it for 5 years. So I don't know what the platform's like, just to give you a random example. But if you're a 4, 5, 6 in your industry, you are qualified enough to teach the people before you. And we get scared of haters nowadays, like the online haters. But what I've really found after being an online coach for over a year and a half, I've got the 10,000 followers. I've spent, you know, over $10,000 on paid ads. I've got a decent sized email list. It's really like, it's decent. Okay. Like, it's not a booming big business, because it's not my primary business. It's my business that I've been in for a year and a half, and it's growing faster and faster and faster. So I do plan for it to be a pretty sizable business by the end of the year. But what I'm really trying to say is, after $10,000 in ad spend, I had like 3 haters, guys. I had like 3 comments that questioned what I was doing, which probably means that my ad needs to be a little bit more divisive. It probably needs to get me more haters. But the way that those ads, like, I didn't get nearly the amount of haters as I thought I would. And what I realized is that I had way more haters in my head that never existed, that never messaged me or emailed me, that were just based off of, like, I would come out with a podcast episode, think about some things I said after, and I'm like, oh man, I bet someone's going to be offended by that, or oh man, I bet that's going to get a bad comment. I have only had like three hate comments. They're not even hate comments at all. They're just on my paid ads of anything that was negative. And one of them, like the very first one, I was scared for when I'd get it, but it was an ad that I had running to a webinar that said, like, check out my Instagram strategies. And she commented, like, all caps lock, don't listen to him, develop your own sales strategies. And all I did was I commented back and I said, definitely develop your own sales strategies. This training is just for people who want a little bit of help figuring out some of the strategies that have worked for me. And then she deleted her comment. She's like, I'm a jerk. So like, that was my first experience with a hater per se. And I'm like, I can handle this. Like, it's really not as bad as people think. And really the imposter syndrome comes in a form, not as much of, I don't know if I'm qualified to teach, as much as it comes into, I'm not sure I want to put my face out there yet. It's easier to do so in organic posting when you're posting to just your follower base, people who have already subscribed to you and they already know you. You rarely get haters on your organic posts, right? You really have to be a huge account, or you have to post something that is seriously divisive to get, I don't even want to call them haters, but it's just, you know, negative comments. The way to get, like, the people that are getting negative comments are the ones that are spending like hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a day on paid ads, and their ads are showing to so many different people that eventually they just run into that person who's just really unhappy with their life and leaves a comment. And every time I have tracked back these hurtful comments, it's like, oh, this person, you know, is still working fast food, which is fine, you know, but it's just like, why would I take this person's criticism seriously? It's never like, oh man, like Russell Brunson hates my ad and he commented like this is lame on it. It's never a top person. They would, even if they didn't like your ad, they wouldn't say anything. They wouldn't take the time to comment. So really the only people who are commenting are people that you're not even going to care about their opinion in the end. So that's why it's so many people get caught up in the early phases of, I don't want to spend a lot of money to have my ads go out there, like record a video ad of yourself saying, hey, here's my training, blah, 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 and then turn it on to $200 ad budget a day, show it to you know, tens of thousands of people a week that are seeing your video that have never met you before, and your video is teaching them stuff. Of course, there's going to be some people that don't buy it. But at the same time, there are seriously so few like actual haters out there. There are so many more true fans that you will find. So if you found even one true fan that just was that, I loved that video so much, I loved your training, I loved the coaching call with you, I want to book a coaching call, I love all your stuff, I'm so glad I found you. If there was just one of those people for every person that said, hey, don't listen to this person, they don't know what they're talking about, and then you trace that account back to find that they were just someone that was like a 17-year-old, would it be worth it to you? Because in actuality, you're going to find about 50 to 100 people who like what you're doing for every one person who doesn't like what you're doing. And it's still something that I'm scared of a little bit today when I come out with a new video ad that I'm, you know, I have the intention of spending a few hundred or $1,000 on it, on testing before I decide to keep going or pull it. But it is crazy just to think that you're going to have yourself, your face, and your content that you're vouching for and standing behind to then show to the masses and really feel like you're totally okay with it. And it's something that you'll overcome naturally over time. But in this podcast, I really am trying to bridge the gap between where I am now and where you are now on the mindset of things. And I cared so much more about haters before I even ran an ad than I do now. I was so scared of haters that didn't exist, people, oh, they're going to say this. They're going to say this about the ad. They're going to say this about the training. They're not going to like this. And then once you actually get one of those comments, it's usually like either one, I can say something like I did before, or I say, yeah, I totally agree with you. This is, training is just for this. And you just brush it off. Or if you've got an extremely witty comeback, every once in a while, I do it. But it's not really beneficial. Or three, you just ignore it, or you can like go back to their account if you want. And I can guarantee you, you're not going to care about this person's opinion, or you're really going to understand like, man, they must be going through some stuff. You can go onto any top entrepreneurs' ads. Like if you see an ad that has hundreds of thousands of views on it, it's a video ad, you can go into the comments, you're going to find a bunch of people that are, you know, not liking it. But on the flip side, comments are comments in the algorithm. So if they put, you know, those type of comments, it does lower your ad spend. It does help the engagement of the ad, and it is beneficial for you overall in terms of the algorithm, because it's not Facebook is not seeing that person's comment was negative. They're just seeing that it's a comment. And if you really want to too, it's really easy to just ban that person instantly from seeing your ads again, and you never have to worry about their comments again. So if you know that what you know could help someone, then don't let the fear of these fake people that you're making up in your mind that might hate on you stop you from doing so. Because I still, like, I mean, I've had, you know, I have 105 podcast episodes, and every single one has over 2,000 plays. And there's a couple that have over 10,000 plays. And I've had about like two or three criticisms DM to me. Like, so I'm super fortunate, and I don't even think I'm like that good. There's probably some of you that are like, yeah, I just am not such a dick to message you. But I even hear myself sometimes. I'm like, I can see how I can improve. But there's just like not that many people out there that have so little time and are so sad about their lives that would go out of their way to hate on your stuff, unless you're really being that divisive. Like, I'm sure most of you listening have probably been a hater at some point yourself, where someone maybe posted something political or something that you just don't agree with at all, and you let them have it a little bit, and that's cool. But it doesn't really happen when you're just giving away free information, unless you're just giving away information that is honestly like that much BS that many people are calling you out. But if you're giving away good information, you are going to get a tenth of the haters that you currently are thinking you're going to get in your head. And you're not even going to care when you get them, because they're not going to say what you think they're going to say. Like, one of the podcast criticisms I had was someone say, hey, in this episode, I just couldn't handle it. You said like way too much, and you said way too much. I had to turn it off. And I didn't even care. I wasn't even offended. I said, you're right. I went back and listened to that episode, and I was not awake enough to record that episode. I was not engaged enough. It was not planned out enough well in advance. And I agreed with him, and I appreciated it, and I didn't even take any offense. And I was like, that wasn't even bad. So really, my best advice on imposter syndrome is do as best as you can to not care about it, but also know that it's always going to exist a little bit, and it will only go downhill from there. But if you can teach people who are just behind you, that's totally fine. If you can read a chapter in a book a day, you'll stay ahead of over 95% of people. And here's the last thing I'll say about that. If you can make if you're a coach and you do coaching calls, let's say with this example, if you can make people feel important and heard, and that's it, you will have already made your coaching call worth it to them. Because if you can just make people feel like they have purpose in this world, and that you're listening to them, and you understand their problems, and you're asking them questions, even if you don't give them information that rocks their world, they will feel so good about that call to just have had a talk with someone who gets it. Because it's hard sometimes to just rely on, you know what, I'm going to call my mom or dad or my best friend for help with this issue, if it's in an industry that they don't understand. Like if I'm trying to learn something about entrepreneurship and I'm having some kind of entrepreneurship struggle, I can talk to friends and family that will say, I'm sorry that's happening to you, but they probably can't give me good advice on it. So even if I just talk to an advanced entrepreneur and they kind of hear me out and then they just tell me everything's going to be all right, I've been through that before, you just need to do this, then that would already pay for the call right there. So it's really not hard for people to be worth your time, as long as they're someone who gets that investing in themselves is worth it. Because really, guys, people who really get investing in themselves, they love spending money on themselves regardless. They're not actively thinking, was this worth $1,000? I don't know. Like the people who look at my $1,000 course and they're really like, I don't know. I already know that even if you do get buy it, you're going to be so like, I don't know if this is worth it, like watching it at the beginning, that you're not even going to be paying attention fully. You're just like, I don't know, should I request a refund? Like, I don't know, like while I still can. And that's why I'll probably get rid of like refund policies in the future overall, like entirely, because it's just not the people you want to attract in the course. And luckily, here's another thing, guys, out of the, you know, about 100 different programs, the programs that I've sold to about 100 or so different people. I give you guys so many numbers of like what's happening behind the scenes with this business, just because, you know, a lot of you have been in it with me since the beginning, and I'm kind of just, every business is an experiment in a way, and I'm kind of letting you in on everything that goes on with this business. You know, out of like the 100 different separate people I sold a program to between the three or four, the three that I have, I've only had one person return one. So, and I'm fine with that. Like by that time, I wasn't even like offended. I was like, oh, cool. Like that's totally fine with me. Like took them forever. And they were just like, yeah, I think I'm not quite at the level where I need to be to do this. I don't really understand the tech. And they had some struggles that they couldn't get past it. And I was like, whatever. I didn't even take any offense to it. So that's another thing. Some of you might be scared of like, what if someone is unhappy? It's very, very rare that they are unhappy, because people who just get that they should invest in their education usually feel great about their purchase as soon as the money leaves their account, not even after the coaching call happens. They just feel like, oh my God, I just did another investment in myself. I'm so proud of myself. I just spent $5,000 on this coaching program. I can't wait. Like the day that I bought a $5,000 course, I felt so good. I felt so successful that day, because I know that there was nothing in the world that would ever keep me from being successful, because I was $5,000 invested into it, which is still like no money at all on the grand scale of life. I mean, you need to think bigger about entrepreneurship if you think $5,000 is a lot to invest in your education, because there is not a single entrepreneur in the world who makes over $1 million a year who has not invested tens of thousands of dollars into their education. Which order did it happen in is what most people are confused about. Oh, well, they're a millionaire. Of course they can afford a $10,000 course. No, they bought a $10,000 course on credit and then went deeper into debt and then became a $1 million entrepreneur and then paid off their courses. And it's really, you have to get this, because if you have to buy coaching, buy it with credit. I know it's not a great financial strategy. I'm just saying, get money from a friend, get money from your friends and family. That's really what you should do, because that's the order of things that happen. It's not like the chicken and the egg, which one came first. The coaching always comes before the success. And if you want to DM anyone who earns over seven figures a year or even six figures a year and ask them how much have you invested in their education, I will bet you $100 that 100% of them have invested tens of thousands of dollars into their education. And there's so many people that are stuck in the limbo of, yeah, but I'm not making money yet, so why would I invest money in myself? And that's not the order that those things happen. So I'm saying that to you guys as coaches who are also selling coaching like me, to have conviction in what you're doing. And know that if someone would ever give you a bullshit objection of, like if someone says something like this to me about like my social launch formula course, which is the best way to gain targeted followers in the shortest amount of time, I guarantee it. If someone were to say this to me about my social launch formula course, like I just want to figure out Instagram more before buying the course. I just want to get more followers but before buying the course. I just want to figure out how to tweak my website for sales more before buying the course. I would say so you want to gain more followers and do what's not working for you right now before you buy the course that shows you how to get followers the right way. And they just be like, well, I guess. I'd be like, well, what you're doing right now isn't working, right? So why wouldn't you get the education that you obviously are needing? You know, I wouldn't say it this way exactly. I would have, you know, a much kinder tone. Like, I'd be talking in the proper way. But I'm just giving you the sales psychology here is like, you know, don't be afraid to ask them a question that just makes them like, I guess that's true. Like if you're selling mindset coaching and someone's like, yeah, I want to get in a little bit better place before I get mindset coaching, which is like something that they would say. You can say, so you're trying to get a better mindset before buying mindset coaching, is that right? And they're like, well, yeah. And then they'll feel stupid, which is great because they should, and they should buy the coaching because it's good for them. And you just got to know that when you're closing your coaching, you have to have a lot of conviction in what you're doing. Otherwise, if you don't have conviction, you can't handle objections. Because as soon as someone says, yeah, can I let you know next month? You'll say, sure. I don't know if I should do it right now. I feel like I want to do it in a couple of months. I just want to get this done and this done first. You'll be like, okay. And that's not nice to do to your customer if what you're selling is great. You have a moral obligation to sell them something. This takes so many years to understand, guys, that what I'm just saying right there, because when people hear that the first time, you have a moral obligation to close them on your stuff. It sounds so salesy. It sounds like, whoa, man, this guy's really brainwashed himself into sales. But after a couple years of doing what you're doing, if you had five extremely successful case studies under your belt, you would never feel bad about closing someone on your program again. Because you're like, I don't care. If I have a 75% success rate with my program, because you'll never have 100% success rate. And that has nothing to do with the program. It usually has a lot to do with the person of just like, oh, they just didn't even do it. They bought it and they didn't even open the course. They bought it, they watched it, they never did anything. That's what happens. But even if you had like a 75% success rate with your course and you knew they have a 5% or zero without it, then why would you feel bad about giving someone a higher percentage chance of success? And if they don't do it, that's completely on them. That has nothing to do with you. Although I am very active at, like, if you're one of my students and you haven't been keeping up with stuff, you probably already know this. I will shoot you a DM and be like, hey, just want to make sure everything's going well. I want to see how I can help and what are you working on, and, you know, point them in the direction of what they need to do next and what part of the course they need to attack next. I am active on that, but there's only so much control you can have on your student's success. So don't think, well, I don't know if I have 100% success rate, because that is largely going to be based off of how much they commit themselves to it. So why would you feel bad about closing someone on something that you are ahead of them on, where essentially you are closing people where it's you 2 years ago? So could you right now coach yourself from 2 years ago effectively? Absolutely. So I know, like, apart from messing with the space-time continuum and things like that, you probably wouldn't actually want to go back in time and coach yourself. But if you had the goal of, okay, I'm going to go back in time and I need to tell myself these few things so I don't make these mistakes and I can make money quicker, you could probably easily go back in time, charge yourself $1,000 and easily make yourself well over $1,000, way more than that. And not just money, but you would earn yourself years of your life back. And that's really what coaching is. So when you are ahead of someone and you're selling them coaching, have full conviction that, hey, even like you know you're going to deliver on what they paid for, and even if they're not content, you're going to keep delivering until they're content. So there's no scenario that they're not content unless they just don't do anything themselves. And that is not on you, and nor should you feel any responsibility for that, nor should you even be trying to guess whether they are going to be committed to the material before they buy it or not. Because if they buy it, then they are committed enough to do it. And that's why it's like coaching would never work if you gave it away for free. No one would ever get any results. You have to have that financial commitment to it to really care about what you're doing. You really do. So let people do that. Let people invest in themselves because it is the best investment. There is all the ways that I'm trying to tell you to just please get over the imposter syndrome. If you really know that your knowledge could help people and you want to be a coach and you're a 4 or a 5 on the 10 scale, there's people below you. There's you 2 years ago that would have loved to hear your information, and there's people out there that will pay for it as well. And they'll definitely get value out of it, and they'll feel great just about investing in themselves at all. So don't feel weird about selling coaching. You really need that full conviction to be able to make it work. All right, moving on to the next section. So how should you set up your account? So this really comes down to your bio, first off. And the bio is a large determinant of your follower conversion ratio, whatever account you have. But the thing that you need as a coach, and I just did an Instagram reel about this, actually. So go check out my reel on my IGM Secrets page of the 3 components that you need in your bio. And actually, these 3 components are the same for every single business. It's just you have to be a little bit more creative to know how to translate this information into any type of business. It's a little easier as a coach, because the first thing you need is just some kind of credibility statement about you. And this is something people struggle to come up with because they think they have to be like a pro to come up with it. Like, oh, I've never been featured in Forbes. I haven't done 6 figures in a year. I haven't done a 5-figure month. I haven't been in the industry for longer than a year. It is difficult to come up with some kind of phrase about you. So for me, the one that I've used the longest is the top Instagram podcast. And I do feel totally fine saying so. There's like an influencer podcast that is bigger than mine, but it's not just like Instagram influencer. It's just like an influencer's Instagram. But other than that, just like Instagram marketing information. If you type in Instagram, I am the first one, and I do have the most reviews and the most episodes. So I have no problem calling myself the top rated Instagram podcast. And the reason why is because if I said, over 100 episodes or anything like that, they're still going, the next thought in their head is, oh, cool, an Instagram podcast. I should listen to one because they are free. What's the best one? When something's free, all people care about is if it's the best one. So since listening to a podcast is free, all they need to know about it is that mine is the best one. And if they want to listen to an Instagram podcast, then it's already a done deal. So that's why I say the top Instagram podcast, and it gives me a lot of credibility in a lot of ways, right? Another way that I do it, here's a super advanced tip actually that Dan Henry gave me. And I loved it so much when I heard him saying it. I jumped on it right away. So Dan Henry is actually the founder of GetClients.com. Crazy, right? How much credibility did that just build? Did you guys know Sam Ovens is the founder of Consulting.com? And both those things are true statements. Those two entrepreneurs are both founders of those websites. And guess what? Neither of you, or none of you, probably have ever been to those websites. But the person who owns Consulting.com, do you need to question their credibility? Well, how much sales do you do? Anything like that? You don't need to. And guess what? It's completely compliant with ads. You can go on an ad and say, hey, I'm Derek Vidal, founder of socialbamboo.com. And that Facebook isn't going to be like, oh, you can't say that. But Facebook is stingy about me saying, hey, I did 7 figures last month. Like anything like that, they will ban the ad. You can't say stuff like that. However, you're not going to question my credibility. If I'm the founder of socialbamboo.com, which I am, which is the thing that I did, as soon as Dan told me, I'm the founder of getclients.com, because as soon as people hear that, they know I have no problem getting clients. The founder of getclients.com probably doesn't have an issue getting clients. And that's a big domain. That's an expensive domain. He must be making a lot of money to afford something like that. It has all of the credibility you need in that one statement. So that is going to be my credibility statement that I'm going to use more in the future as the founder of socialbamboo.com. And since I am debuting that on the podcast for the first time right now, allow me to explain a little bit. I did want to buy sociallaunch.com. But that was like $5,800 and socialbamboo.com was like $50. So I was like, I do like sociallaunch.com a little bit more, especially because it's one less syllable and a couple less letters. And it's just, it sounds like such a big company. But it wasn't quite worth it for me to buy that at that time. Maybe I'll buy it later. But Social Bamboo was so cheap. Bamboo is the fastest growing plant on earth. It's highly sustainable and it's extremely strong. Like my Instagram strategies, very fast and very sustainable. So that's why I chose that. And the thing is if you can't remember, like if you see my ad and I say, I'm the founder of socialbamboo.com, and then you never see my ad again, maybe I turn it off or for some reason Facebook didn't think you liked it and you just never see it again and you forget about me, but you want to go back to me, there's a good chance you're going to remember socialbamboo.com and you're going to go to socialbamboo.com to research me rather than, I think his name was Derek Vidal. Let me type Derek Vidal in Google and then you're going to find my Facebook page, my LinkedIn, and a bunch of other stuff that I don't want you to find that's not really going to lead you down any path that I want you to go. But if you go to socialbamboo.com, every single one of my free trainings and everywhere, it directs everyone to where I want them to go, depending on what business you are and where you're at with your business. There's a training or some kind of opt-in for anyone if you go to socialbamboo.com. I would go check it out even just so you can see what I'm talking about. But it just makes it so this term has been called a shadow funnel, which is when people find out about you, there are a lot of people who will see your ads, not have time to interact with them, want to find you later, can't, and either they can find you or not. And the thing is to get like Derek Vidal, when someone types that in on Google, to have the first thing be socialbamboo.com, that will take a while for me to rank that on SEO. Like it will take months, if not years, and I will actively have to make that my targeted key phrase and make the word Derek Vidal appear a bunch of different times in a bunch of different places on socialbamboo.com's website. And I did do that. I do want that to happen for me eventually when someone types in Derek Vidal. But until then, the only sure way for me to get them to socialbamboo.com is, hey, I'm Derek Vidal, founder of socialbamboo.com. In today's video, I'll be teaching you this. Then I don't seem like cocky saying all these sales numbers and they're like, oh, the guy who owns this like social website, he probably doesn't have like anything that I have to worry about, his credibility. They have a way to search me later. And they have a way to talk about me to their friends. Because I just said, like if someone were to ask me who Dan Henry is, I'd be like, yeah, he's the founder of getclients.com would be what I would start with. Because it's so easy. And if I'm going to talk about him, I do want to paint the picture of credibility to people so they actually listen to me when I talk about him. And just shout out to Dan Henry. I know he's not going to hear this podcast, but absolutely love the dude. I'd follow him on Instagram if you do coaching at all, which is the coaching episode. Dan is really known as either the number one or one of the top guys in the space for teaching coaches how to sell their information through courses and programs. He's an absolute rock star, and I coach with him personally. So highly recommend you find people that you identify with, multiple of them, and learn from all of them, but also take what you like and know what you don't like. You do. That's why it's good to listen to multiple people. So like you're listening to today's podcast episode, and maybe you don't love every single little thing that I say, but even if you just took that one tip right there of I'm going to buy a domain that I can say I'm the founder of healthandwellness.com, which I'm sure is taken, but something like that, right? Like I'm the founder of, nutritionninjas.com. Like if you just find something like that, then all of a sudden you have an intro to all of your videos or this credibility statement that we're talking about in the bio that just is an instant credibility builder and it controls your traffic. I already talked about the benefits. I love that tip though. So you need a credibility statement as the first thing in your bio. The second thing you need is a direct call out of your ideal customer and how you help them. Okay, so here is something called a refined marketing statement. Dan talks about it all the time. If you ever buy one of his courses, this is the first thing that every single person needs to do. This is talked about by Russell Brunson as well. I don't know who's the originator of it. If you're a course and you don't have this sentence filled out, now's the time to do it. I would even pause this podcast and do this if you haven't done it before. This is a refined marketing statement. I help market, okay, you're going to fill in your market there, get desired result through method.
Are you interested in small businesses? My name is David C. Barnett, and I've been podcasting and producing YouTube videos about buying, selling, financing, and managing small and medium-sized businesses for almost 10 years. I'm a former business broker and have owned and operated several businesses, and I've been advising business owners since the 1990s. Each week, I create a new podcast which answers one of your questions, and I've always got amazing, exciting guests. You can find me on YouTube by going to smallbusinessanddealmakingpodcast.com or just search David Barnett Small Business in any podcasting app to find me. I look forward to seeing you around.
If you want to stick out as a coach and you want to grow quick, those are the three things you need, okay? You need a very defined market. And if your market is people, you did it wrong. If your market is business owners, you probably still did it wrong. You probably need to narrow down more than that because it's just too competitive and it's too big to attack. If you're like a brand new coach, the quickest way to grow, and this applies to every single business ever, the quickest way to grow at the beginning is in a niche and own your niche and then expand, as I'm doing too. Because at the same time you guys are listening to my Instagram Marketing Secrets podcast, you are just getting familiar with Derek Vidal coaching in general. So if I ever want to be a general entrepreneur coach, it will be a lot easier for me to do so. But probably I would go from an Instagram specialist to a social media specialist, then to an entrepreneur coach overall. And then I could attack like mindset, I can attack whatever. And I do have podcast episodes about all those things. And that's how I kind of am slowly growing into a larger pool of people, but it was easy to just grow in the Instagram market niche. Another famous example is Jeff Bezos. When he founded Amazon, he did found it with the intention of making it the everything store, the A to Z store. That's why it's called Amazon. And that's why their logo has a smile that goes from the A to the Z. But he only sold books. Amazon was only books at the very beginning. And he just became the number one place to buy books online. And then all of a sudden, once he nailed that and had it down, he took all of the learning that he did to own the book niche, and then he went into the next one and he owned that, and he just started adding more products and opening it up more. And at that time that he started it, books were the most bought things online. That's why he started there, and that's largely because if you go into a bookstore even nowadays, there's probably going to be a lot of books that you want that they don't have, and the only thing they could do on before was go find it online. There's not like, oh, let me check the eight other bookstores. If one Barnes & Noble doesn't have it, the other ones probably don't, and the smaller bookstores probably don't have it either. So it's just online buying wasn't very common back then, so it just happened by necessity. That's at least my theory of why books were so popular and why he started there. But you have to start in a niche. So my example for my course, and you want to have a refined marketing statement for every offer you have as well. Most likely for every offer you have, you're going to have a slightly different refined marketing statement. So I help social media experts or social media marketers is how I could say it. Okay. That's kind of like my niche right there. And unfortunately, it doesn't really matter. I don't care about saying unfortunately. I have had to switch it and I'm still questioning it. That's why I didn't spit it out there. So social media marketers is one. I help people with B2C offers is truly who I help. But it's just so weird to say that for me. In the past, I've said online entrepreneurs, which is just barely niched down from business owners. And a lot of people can say that. But a lot of you coaches out there, you might say like, I help, women with So I talked to someone the other day that she helps women with irritable bowel syndrome. Perfect niche, okay? Like, it seems like, well, that's so niche. There's only so many people with irritable bowel syndrome. That doesn't matter. You can only have like 10 to 30 clients at a time anyways. So there's at least that many ladies in the world, and you are pursuing a global marketplace. When niches didn't work is with brick and mortar businesses. You want to be like, there's still like, you're slightly niched down. You don't want to have like a total general store unless you want to compete with Walmart. But other than that, I mean, you wouldn't have, like, it's rare that you're going to see a local business do well that is like, we only sell socks. Like, that, those sock emporium stores pretty much only work in like extremely busy malls. Otherwise, it's like, you should probably sell socks and shoes, right? You got it, like, because there's only so many people in your area. In a global marketplace, when you can sell to literally any country in the world, there's an infinite amount of clients and saturation will never happen. You need to know that no matter what business you're in, there's an infinite amount of clients, saturation doesn't happen. So stop thinking, well, there's someone else who sells my offer. If someone else didn't sell your offer, that would be very scary, because you probably, there's like no way you're inventing a brand new original offer nowadays. I know everyone likes to think they are, but everyone is inventing some kind of variation of some kind of other offer. It's so rare that completely original inventions happen in product or service-based industries anymore. You are selling something that someone already has sold. But there's other Instagram coaches out there, and some of you will identify with me more, and some of you might like the other Instagram coach's style more. It doesn't matter that we're both, you know, essentially, even though like no one sells a course like my social launch formula, I guarantee that. So I really am like in my own little niche there, which is scary, honestly, because it's like, I don't know how bad people want it, and I don't have anyone to model off of. But the fact someone else has done something before, it should not deter you away from it, because the saturation doesn't happen. There's just going to be some people who identify with you and some people who identify with other people. So for me, sorry, let me complete this sentence, my refined marketing statement. I help social media marketers gain thousands of targeted followers with my contest conversions strategy. And the reason why it's very necessary to have some kind of method is because that's ultimately what people are buying. Coaches would love it if all they had to do was be themselves. And it's like, do you want to coach with me? I'm me, and you like me, and you identify with me. Unless you can show them why your path is different than other ones they've pursued in the past, why your path is quicker than how they would learn it, going it alone, why your path is unique and makes so much sense to them, and why your path is your own and your own method that they can't even learn anywhere else, then that's where you're gonna really have your closing ratio be high. You wanna develop some kind of method. And doesn't that give you some testament to your brand right there? Yeah, Derek, he invented the contest conversions method for running your ads. You haven't heard of that? Oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And guess what? That's one other thing that I can own that keyword probably pretty easily, because it's not, it's no one else's method, right? I can put the word contest conversions all over my sites in various different places and probably rank for that eventually. And if you want to be like, I can't remember his name or his website, but I remember contest conversions, you can probably find me. So you need some kind of method for how you get people from A to Z, because the first time I ever built a course, it was called IGM University, and I still do have it. But what I learned is it's very hard to sell it, because essentially it was an all-encompassing Instagram marketing course. And what that would do is people would say, oh, it's like everything I would ever need to know about Instagram. Well, I don't know what I don't know, so I don't think I should buy it, because I don't know what I don't know. And for that reason, I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. And people who did buy it would be like, holy shit, I had no idea. I didn't know. Like the stuff in my IGM University course, I'm just telling you right now, has never been on the podcast, is so more advanced than anything that I've covered on the podcast, that if you guys who like my podcast information, if you bought it, you'd be like, oh my God, why did I not buy this earlier? I'm just going to say that real quick. But and that's for the same with your courses too. Okay. Every one of you selling coaching and courses, one of the biggest objections you got to get around is they are so they're so determined to not spend money if they don't have to. They're like, I don't want to buy information if it turns out I didn't need it. And I also don't want to request a refund because I don't want to be a jerk. So I just feel like I don't know why I need your info. And for that reason, I'm out. But if you say, so let's say you're a nutrition coach. I help women in their 20s get into the perfect, drop two dress sizes before their wedding through my, I'm making up like a method name right now just to give you some kind of example. I should probably just give you an example of something that already exists, but it would be like through my 30 days and 30 minutes challenge or like something like, I'm sorry, I'm not coming up with a good example off the top of my head. It's too complicated to do so. But to give you some other examples of methods that are out there, I've heard someone say like learn sales the easy way using my stupid box technique. That's actually one of Dan's techniques. And what that does is you're like, well, I don't know the stupid box technique. Maybe that's the thing that I'm missing from getting results. I don't know what it is. What is it? I can guess what it is, but I don't know what it is. Now they're curious too. Some of you are probably really curious. What is this contest conversions method? I want to learn what that is. Because now all of a sudden I have a new thing. Rather than learn how to run Facebook ads. How many other people out there are saying learn how to run Facebook ads? 5 billion. You know, like 5 billion out of 7 billion people in the world. I'm just saying there's like so many people out there that are running how to run Facebook ads. But as soon as I'm like, learn how to run profitable Facebook ads right out of the gate using my contest conversions method, even if you have no prior ad experience, you're like, all right, I'm listening. What's your method? So you have to develop some kind of path so that you can make yourself your offer unique to people, and all of a sudden, it's not offered anywhere else. When you have your own method, you don't have any direct competitors anymore. You also have made it to this person that if you can sell them on your method alone, you already have a sale. You don't even need to overcome the price or anything like that. If you can make people believe. So here's the next thing, right? There's a refined marketing statement, and then there's a thing called a big domino statement, and they go together. The big domino statement is if I can make market believe that the only way to achieve desired result is through my method, then all objections become irrelevant and they must invest. This is another Russell Brunson thing, okay? It's very important. I would rewind this, the last couple of minutes of this episode and do it over and over. And I'm going to try to give you some better examples on this time around, as well as on the refined marketing statement. So for me, if I can make social media marketers believe that the only way to gain thousands of targeted followers in a month is through my contest conversions method, then all objections become irrelevant and they must buy my social launch formula course, because it's just like, that's the only path. It's the only path that gets them what they want. If I can show them that my path will get them what they want and I make total sense of it, then it doesn't even really matter what it costs. And so many people get concerned about my course isn't selling. I think I need to lower the cost. You need to increase the value, and increasing the value is not adding more bonuses to it. That helps a little bit, a little bit. It is not adding more hours of content to your course. In fact, it's easier to sell a 4-hour long course with a very clearly defined, by the end of this course, you will be able to do this, than it is to sell a 20-hour course without that defined. Because IGM University is over 20 hours of material. It's incredible. Honestly, it's like the best thing that I've ever built that I wasn't able to sell because I wasn't able to market it correctly. And now I'm dividing that course out into the separate sections because it's rare that one person needs everything in there. E-commerce is about the only industry that literally everything in that course applies to. So that's the thing. I had made a course that was for online entrepreneurs, which was not targeted enough. You know, like it's easier to sell to e-commerce people first and then branch out from there. I was essentially selling a basketball course rather than a how to jump higher course. And that's what I'm saying. It's easier to sell a how to jump higher course than it is to sell how to play basketball. Okay, unless you're Steph Curry selling a basketball course, it's going to be very hard to pitch people on that, and the marketing is going to be even harder. If you're literally like, hey, all we're going to do is help you jump higher. They're like, I need to jump higher. You guys are the only people who have ever pitched me on a course on how to jump higher. So it's done. It's a done deal. It's that easy to close. And people get scared. Yeah, but there's less of those people. Would you be okay with selling 1,000 of your offer? Well, are there at least 100,000 people in that industry? Cool. Yeah, there are 100,000 people that would fit your target demographic there. And at a 1% closing ratio, there's 1,000 sales right there. And that's really what you need too. I'm going to give you this concept of all you need is 1% of people to buy. This is also from Dan Henry. I'm not going to take full credit for this, but he talks about this all the time. All you need is 1% of people to buy in order to be a millionaire. If you have 100 people watch your webinar and one buy, so many people are like, yeah, but like most people won't buy my course. Duh, most people won't buy coaching from you or your course or anything like that. You're looking for a 1% conversion ratio and you're fine. 1% or more and you're fine. So just worry about attracting 100 people into your funnel if you want to get a sale, rather than I got to find the person who's going to buy. Just get 100 people in your funnel with a 1% conversion or higher and you're good, okay? So know that that's totally fine. Most people aren't going to buy. Your goal is not to close all the people. If you go into it with that goal, you're just going to make something that is way too general. And the marketing is just going to be all over the place, because my marketing for it, I was like, yeah, but there's a part in it where like I show them how to do this and their engagement skyrockets. Like there's an engagement hack in that course that is some of the best material I've ever created. And it would be easier for me to just sell like that one method in its own course. The giveaways in there, there's three different types of giveaways that are taught in that course. And it made it so I was like, I don't know which one to market. Which one do I talk about on the webinar? And then when I finally narrowed it down to, you know what, this is the best strategy in there. I'm going to build out, you know, a fully detailed, exactly how to do this course with like pre-written emails and all that stuff. And I just made it social launch formula and I niche it down to like exactly how to run a successful giveaway that just blows up your base by a couple thousand in a month. That is when people are like, look, I want to gain a couple thousand followers in the next couple months. This is the only path that I see to get there. And then it was closable. Then I could easily close that course much easier than the course that was three times the information for the same price. Okay, it was much easier for me to sell a smaller course than a course with three times the information at the same price, because they're not buying it for the amount of hours of stuff that's in there. Okay, if you guys were buying a course that like it teaches you how to sell to flip houses, there's 100 hours of course content in there, that would deter you away from buying it. If it's like teaches you how to flip houses in 4 hours, you will be able to start flipping houses by tonight and start doing your research. You'll be like, you know what? I want the 4-hour course. People don't want a lot of information. They want information that will get them the result they want in the quickest time. And that is the same whether you're selling a course, a program, any kind of coaching in any capacity, any kind of group coaching calls. Don't think that you need to just add more to your course, add more to your bonuses. That is not going to close people. You get it saying this course will get you this result is what will close people, okay? So I'm really just trying to explain the bio here and I'm getting off on tangents, but they're not really tangents. I'm just going extremely detailed on the deep dive here of you need a refined marketing statement, you need a big domino statement, and you also need to know that you're going to be refining both of these statements for a while. Now, something I'm gonna link in the description is the link for you to get the free Expert Secrets book. If you are a coach of any capacity and you have not read Russell Brunson's Expert Secrets book, you are vastly behind every other coach out there who has. That is the number one book by far and away, no questions asked. If you have not read that book, you are very far behind on being an online entrepreneur, online coach nowadays, okay? Please, if there's one thing you do from this episode, get that book, okay? Go to my link in the description. You can get the book for free. You pay like $8 shipping or $10 shipping or something like that. Get the Expert Secrets book. Read it this week. If you can do that, there is nothing on the face of this earth that will level you up quicker at a cheaper cost, okay? Like that book is incredible. And it really is how to be a coach online nowadays and how the modern internet landscape factors into your business and how to make these sales processes that we're going to allude to in a little bit here, but it's not going to go nearly as detailed as that book goes. Okay, you got to get that book. Please, dear God, get that book right now. Pause the episode, go get that book, get it shipped to you, then continue the episode, but just go to my link and you'll get it for free. It's in the description. Okay. So the last part of your bio is a call to action. And this is so many coaches are missing this. You have people that want to work with you. They go to your bio to find out how, and they don't know how. How crazy is that? And the main reason why is because a lot of coaches forget what their main job is. If you're a coach, you're a salesman and a coach on the side. If you're an artist, you're a salesman and an artist on the side. No matter what job you do in business, your job is sales. And if you forget about that, you are not going to get very many sales. Okay. The reason why Brooke and Sarah crush it, they're probably both extremely great at coaching. They know so much about their industries. But the one thing that is really separating them from so many other girls who probably could, you know, do great coaching calls just like them, is that they know how to sell stuff, okay? If you want to be a successful coach, you could be the best coach in the world. But if you don't have a good sales process and you're not out there getting sales, no one will ever know and you'll never make an impact on anyone's life. You have to know that your job is sales. Your primary job is sales. No matter what you do, your primary job is sales, okay? That is why Brooke and Sarah both make well over six figures a year, multiple six figures. Brooke just had that $40,000 month last month. The only way that is possible is if you get good at sales. It doesn't matter how good your program is because you're just not going to sell it. Okay, you have to get good at sales. So your bio leads people to the first step of your sales process. And that will lead me on. Oh, actually, no, we're going to talk about content before we get into the sales processes, but the first step of your sales process for a lot of coaches is like download a free ebook. And then at the end of the ebook, it will have some kind of book a free consultation call. And then on the consultation call, you close them on your $2,500 program. Okay. That would be like an example of a sales process. It could say, go to my website and view my webinar. That's more what mine is, right? You give me your email, you watch a webinar, the email automation is going to close you on my course. That's the start of my sales process. Is I don't have to sell my course as much. I have to sell the webinar and then let the webinar do its thing. Okay. So you're really trying to sell clicks through your Instagram. Your Instagram is just so you get one link. Okay. You're engaging with people and you're sending them to your one link. And if your one link is your homepage, people are going to click on your homepage and they're going to exit off because there's going to be more than one option. There's going to be more than one thing for them to do and they're going to leave. Okay. So one thing. Okay. Just if you have a webinar, promote only that at that time. I really am not a fan of Linktree because a lot of people are like, yeah, but I have a podcast. I have a Facebook group. I have this. So I want to link them all. And really that's actually the lazy way to do it. Because you're like, I just want it to sit there forever and I never have to change the link. If the third line of your bio, if like the last line of your bio that is the call to action to click your link isn't changing all the time, you are doing Instagram wrong because you cannot send traffic. It would be like me running a Facebook ad that says, check out my homepage and then go browse after that. Whether you want to check out my blog articles and buy through an affiliate link or you want to watch or you want to click on my product or whatever, go check out my website and hopefully you do what I want. Like if they just click on it and they're gone. Their attention span is more limited on Instagram than anything else they do on their phone. Okay. Anything else, even more than TikTok. The average time to consume a single post on Instagram is less than TikTok because there are photos on there, which means that the scroll rate is so much faster than everything else. So if you don't send people to your bio for a very specific reason, if you click my bio, you will learn this specific thing. You are not going to get people to quit their leisure time on social media and go click on it. So please do not have a link tree. Do not have your homepage be a link. I can't tell you how many episodes and YouTube videos I have about this already. And I'm going to say it over and over. Do not do a link tree. Do not do a home page. Pick one thing at a time and then have your bio say, click on my new training here and just funnel them to one thing at a time, okay? If they want to go to your homepage, they'll just click home when they get to the page of that thing, okay? If they want to explore and do other things, they'll do so, or they'll DM you if they really need to know that bad. But in all honesty, there's not that many people like, oh, she took down her homepage. Dang it. Like, no one's like at a loss if you change your link for a week and then you change it and then you change it and you just promote free guide, free guide, free guide, free guide, new training, new training, new training. Book a call with me, book a free call with me, book a free call with me, book a free call with me. What is the first part of your sales process? Because all of your organic marketing is essentially worthless if you don't have an ample amount of your organic marketing ending with a call to action that leads to people to the first part of your sales process. If you make a YouTube video that would trend and get on page one and you don't have, thanks so much for watching this, guys. If you want more help from me, make sure to book a free call. Hey, make sure to download my guide. If you don't have that, that YouTube video is completely wasted. You just completely wasted. Like, you just got this video to rank on YouTube finally, and it's completely wasted. And people know that a little bit more with YouTube because they know it's going to stick there forever. But there's so many coaches, especially that I see on Instagram, that rarely promote their offers. They rarely promote people to go to the first step of their offer. And it leads your followers to just believe, you know what? I think they just give free information. That's awesome. You need to talk about your offers more often, because here's the thing. If you have like 3,000 followers and you say, hey guys, make sure to book a call with me, there's a very small chance someone's going to book a call. There really is. There really is a very small chance out of the 3,000 followers and the 100 to 300 people who view that story are going to book a call. The reason why is because people have to hear about offers multiple times before they ever do something. So if you're like, yeah, I did that on my story before and no one did it, it's because you need to do it like 7 times at least before someone finally books that call. They have to hear about the offer over and over and over. So don't be afraid that if you're going to make like an IGTV video especially, and you're going to give tips for like multiple minutes, you better end with some kind of thank you so much for watching. If you want more help, make sure to go to the link in my bio and do this thing. That's how you get sales from Instagram. Send them off the platform. The sales don't happen on Instagram. They happen with whatever is in your bio link. And your bio link should be the first step of your sales process. And your bio should sell them on that link click. Like, a lot of people just don't even talk about their link at all. Their bio just explains who they are, and then there's just a link. No one is going to click a link without a valid reason to leave social media. So you have to sell them on the link click in your bio. And then through there, you have your sales process, okay? Now, before we move on to the sales process, I'm going to teach you guys about content that is not working for coaches on Instagram and is probably the most common issue that I see like tons of coaches doing, and it is killing your engagement, okay? Make sure to listen in, but just a quick word from my sponsor and I'll talk to you in a sec. Okay, so the thing that you need to know with your content, this is the number one mistake that I see, is that coaches only post pictures of themselves and long captions. If you do so, your share rate is going to be ridiculously low. When you're designing a post, you need to ask yourself, would it be weird for someone to add post to story? When someone adds the post to their story, that helps out with your post trending more than any other type of engagement. It would take like 20 likes to be the equivalent of someone adding the post to their story in terms of what the Instagram algorithm picks up as this must be good content. So the thing is when you just have a picture of you in the content and then you have an awesome caption, people would have to share it and then type out the text, read the caption in order for them to want to share it on their story, which is too much work and you're asking of them way too much. And on Instagram, there's plenty of people who will never read your caption. And if that's the only area you ever provide value, you're going to lose so much engagement, because there's even, like, everyone likes to read a long caption every once in a while. But for you to come up with a long caption every single post that every one of your people is going to read, what's going to happen is there's going to be people who are like, I can tell that they're going to say something smart here, but I don't really want to read multiple paragraphs right now, so I'm going to scroll on. Then all Instagram sees is that you didn't like their post and you didn't open their caption and you scrolled on instantly, which is going to kill your engagement. Now, if your post itself, even if you posted zero, you want to have it that your post itself, even if you did zero caption at all, nothing, that it would still get likes, okay? And if you post a picture of yourself, the only people who are going to like it are the people who really love you as a person. And that could still be a ton of people, but it's not as much as the amount of people that love you and loved your tip, okay? And loved the value that you provided. So if you're a coach, let's say that like for me, if I'm going to do like some kind of mindset post, let me like go to my account real quick just to get an example. So I do like to do long captions sometimes, but if someone isn't going to read my entire caption, it still needs to have a chance to gain a like, is what I'm getting at. And the thing is people aren't going to share it onto their story, or are way less likely to, unless that content piece itself looks good on their story. Because most of them just want to click add post a story and that's it. They don't want to click add post a story, then drag the post off to the corner, then write a whole thing about it, and then draw an arrow to your post. That there's just going to be so much drop off there of the amount of people that do it. So for instance, I have some like pictures that will be of me, and then I'll have like some text be around it, and then I'll expand on it in the caption. So here's one that did pretty well. It's got a picture of me and it's got text that says, "I'm not special, but there is one learnable skill set I have that many people still need to acquire." And then I went on actually on the next post as well as in the caption to expand on that. But when people are going through their feed and they're just in fast scroll mode, the content has to sell the caption. And most people are just like, "Oh, the caption's already sold. It's part of the post." No, it's not. If you just post a picture of you with nothing else in it, that's okay sometimes. But if you have some kind of text in there that gives them a little cliffhanger of why they're going to want to read the rest of the caption, they're not going to. So your content should be likable in itself and it should sell the caption, okay? So that's the biggest mistake I see coaches make, is they just rely on, "I'm just gonna write awesome captions and then just post a picture of myself," and your engagement is going to die. It's probably already dead. You already know this, okay? So you're welcome, I just fixed it for you. Last thing we're gonna talk about, this is such a long recap interview because I'm recapping two interviews is really why, but also I'm just giving you guys so much information about, if you're a coach, like here's like basically all of my major tips. I mean, I could go on forever about ads and so much more and creating ebooks and audience growth funnels and things like that. And guys, I'll say it again. If you do think that I could help you, coaching is not like coaching coaches is not my target market. But there's still so many of you that listen to the podcast that are like, "Look, I just like how you explain things. I like your information. I can tell you know what you're talking about from this podcast episode alone, and I do not know exactly how to write my bio from what you taught me. I still don't get how my sales process would look, even though you explained it." Then that's when I would encourage you to check out the links in my description, and you can look at how you can get some time with me. You know, there's more sizable packages, but I also have some more affordable packages for people who just need to get me on the phone like a couple times. All right. So check that out. But, the last thing we're going to talk about is your sales processes. Okay. So the one that Sarah does, and Brooke kind of does this too, they really both do, is an ascension funnel. Okay. An ascension funnel is where you either give something for free or very low ticket on the front end, and then it has upsells on the back end. And sometimes the upsells happen immediately. For instance, it could be like, "Buy my $27 thing." And then as soon as you buy that, it says, "You know, you got 5 minutes if you want to add on my course on how to do this for $197. And they go through that process. Now, the ascension funnel is not, the ideal customers you want to get with it are not, "Oh, finally, I found someone who can only afford $27. Let me sell them that." You're trying to find people who would be ideal for your more pricey offers, but because they aren't sure if they want to invest that much with you yet, because they don't know if you over deliver what they pay you on. They want to buy a small offer first and then test it out. So sometimes the upsells don't always happen right then. You should offer them right then, but there should be some other way that you offer them again in the future. Even though it's like a one-time discount, you probably should hit them up in the future. So like, for instance, I bought a course from one guy that's very established in the industry, does, you know, 8 figures a year. And I bought his course. Like, I was debating buying one of his more expensive courses, but I bought his $99 course to test it out and to see what he was all about. And actually, guys, I didn't really like it. And I'm really glad that I found out that way. But, you know, I paid $100 and his course was like good information, but I could tell he didn't prepare at all for it. He just started recording and he was extremely sick. He was coughing the entire time. So it did make me like, you know what? I don't need to buy the more expensive stuff. So take that as a lesson that if you're going to sell like a $27 thing, which I would never go that cheap. I would have the cheapest I would ever sell any kind of offer is $47. Okay. Like, the absolute bottom dollar I would ever do it. Because if you sell it for any less than that, none of your students are going to do it. Okay. They're not financially committed enough to do it. And you're going to attract the wrong people and it just devalues your coaching. Okay. If you want to look at it this way, I don't sell anything cheap because I don't sell anything that sucks. Again, Dan Henry is going to come up probably another time or two in this episode, but he taught me that line and it's a great thing to live by. Like, does your stuff suck? Then why are you thinking you need to sell it for like $7 or $19? Like, do the math. Like, are you trying to make 10 grand a month? Okay. Yeah, I am. Okay. 27. Yeah, I only have to sell like 500 of them. Like, you're not going to find 500 people, but if you up your price to 47 instead of 27, now all of a sudden you only have to find 250 people to do the same amount of sales. So really, like, please do not underprice like your first offer. If you're going to go that low, just make it free. Okay. But your idea is that you want to give away some kind of free information that information would be wanted by someone who would likely buy one of your higher priced things. Okay. So don't gear it towards like for me, if I was doing an ascension funnel where like my viral posting guide, okay, I have a free viral posting guide. If I did free viral posting guide and then on the next page was like buy my social launch formula course on how to run a massive giveaway and gain a few thousand followers this month, very targeted followers, and sell to them. And every time I talk about my course, I'm just like, oh, it's so good. I want you guys, but it's not for coaches. That's why I'm kind of selling it a lot. Like, I'm sorry, social launch formula isn't for courses, for coaches. So that's why I'm selling it a lot. But you guys should have that same conviction that I'm showing you that I have in my material. It wouldn't work because a viral posting guide is for people who are brand new to Instagram and don't know how to post. So I wouldn't give that away, right? I would give a guide on the 7 things that people of why giveaways don't work for people. That actually is probably a great idea that I just had right there, because then I'm going to justify why their giveaways didn't work in the past, because a lot of people have tried giveaways, right? It would be like, here's the 7 things why. And then if I can identify one of those things that they did, they'd be like, oh, damn, now I see what I did wrong. And then at the end of that free offer, it would say, now go check out my free training on exactly how you should run a giveaway. And then at the end of that, it pitched them on a course. That would be a more appropriate ascension funnel. Every offer within your ascension funnel should be geared towards the same customer. Otherwise, it won't work. And a lot of people make a free thing on the front end that they know is just going to attract a lot of people in their market, but it's not attracting the people who would then be interested in their next offer. And it makes it so if you're running paid ads to it, it really doesn't have a chance to be profitable. And it's just really not a good conversion ratio, even using your precious organic traffic. You know, you can only send them through so many things and get their attention so easily. Like, you don't want to rely on, you know, if it goes wrong, I'll just, you know, remarket it in the future. Like, you want to do it right even when you send your organic traffic there, because you can only send them there once, right? So make sure that if you're going to do an ascension funnel in coaching, it's just going to be a series of either free or low priced things that slowly go into leading people to the higher priced things. So it is easier as you become a coach at the beginning. You're just going to come out with one offer, and that's all you should do. You should focus on like what one offer is going to get me to the income level that I want right away. So do not come out with your first offer as a cheap one. Come out with like a middle price offer. Like your first offer should be like 500, 1,000, 2,000. And then you should make like the smaller or the bigger. Don't make a small one at first. Otherwise, you're just going to take forever to make a lot of money. So like sell an offer that even if you have no upsells, you'd still be excited to sell it to someone. But then you can start working in how can I do lower price offers for the people who are so curious about working with me. But the one last objection they have is I don't know if this person's coaching content is worth it. And you handle that with a low ticket offer. Okay. However, what I will say, you do not need a low ticket offer to be a successful coach. There are so many different sales processes out there. You just really got to know your clients very well and your stuff. And that's why it's like it's really good to get a coach in the coaching industry, especially because if you're a coach without a coach, you don't believe in what you're doing at all. Okay. If you're a coach and you don't hire coaches yourself regularly, you are not going to be able to sell coaching. Because it would be like me trying to sell, like this podcast mic here, and I've never used it before. If you do not believe in coaching in itself to buy it for yourself, you are going to struggle selling it to other people. Okay, you have to understand that. You can literally be a coach that sells a $10,000 offer and that's it and do just fine. There's this guy, Alex Harmozzi. He's very well known in the ClickFunnels industry. He does huge numbers. His cheapest offer is $16,000. Okay. Great way to do it. Okay. That's totally fine. Like literally your goal is not to gain tons of customers. So let me conclude by asking you this. Here's one of the best questions I could ask you to steer you in the direction of actually making a lot of money soon. If you had to make $10,000 by the end of this week, gun to your head, what would you do? You can only sell coaching, okay? You have to make $10,000 by the end of this week. What would you do? Because actually the quickest way to get that money is to find the client that you help the most, directly outreach to them and sell them something, okay? And then realize that your job is sales and sell them. That is the quickest path to you making that money this week. If I had a gun to my head, Derek, you got to make $10,000 this week. You can only sell coaching to get there. I'd say, okay, I need to find a business that has about 50,000 Instagram followers that they got there because their business is awesome. Their product is awesome, but I can see that their Instagram strategies are severely lacking. I know that they can afford $10,000 and I know that I can make them over $10,000 because they have the infrastructure set up to do so. So I'm going to reach out to them and I'm going to say, hey, everything you're doing looks great. If you want to blah, 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 introduce myself, go back and forth, do multiple DMs, then finally get them on a call and then pitch them on a $10,000 offer and show them how I can make them more than $10,000 through my strategies. That is the quickest way for me to gain $10,000 this week. Okay. So know that there is even right now at this point of time, something that you could sell to someone for $10,000. And if you're a very advanced coach, like Tony Robbins could be like, yeah, I could sell a $10,000 3-hour call right now to someone. You know, there's someone who would do that. Like you can't do that as a new coach, but like as a new one, like I could easily sell a $10,000 offer to someone if I was like, I'll run your Instagram for an entire year and I'll post every day. Like that's a stupid offer. I would never make that, but I'm like, that's easily worth $10,000. Right? So like know that you already right now in this moment have some kind of offer you could make that would be worth $10,000 to someone. Even if it's just like, all you know, one-on-one coaching for an entire year, or, you know, I will write all of your emails for you. Like it would have maybe some kind of done for you component in it where you're going to do stuff for them is the easiest way to add a lot of dollars to your offer. But just know that if you think about what is the quickest A to B path to me making a lot of money, that is the one way to find the A B path to making a lot of money. And so many people are like, well, I'm not in it for the money. Shut the fuck up, okay? If you say stuff like that, bullcrap like that, there's so many businesses. Sorry, I dropped an STFU. Whenever I just hit one of these nerves sometimes, guys, that are like, I hear this too often and is so detrimental, I just got to throw out an STFU. I'm sorry. But if you're like, well, I'm not in business for the money, like, you don't realize that you can't help people. You can't help the world without money, okay? You want to help a lot of people? Well, you got to run a lot of ads to sell a lot of courses, which takes a lot of money, you deserve that money, and you should go get it, and you shouldn't feel weird about taking it. Like, you really got to get your thoughts right about receiving money. You got to feel totally comfortable with it, and got to know you're totally worth it in order to start attracting that, honestly. And that's something me and Brooke talk about, and I'm not going to get into this episode because this episode is over at this point. But go listen to the Brooke episode 103 for attracting money. It's a great episode for that. So ladies, gentlemen, all of you coaches out there, I really hope you appreciate the information that I delivered today. If it resonated with you, if you like it, again, please just share it with a coach that could really get a head start. Even a friend that's like curious about being a coach, I think if they hear some of this information, they're going to really start to think like, maybe it wouldn't really take me that long to make good money. Because like I just told you, every single person in the world has something that they could sell to someone for $10,000 if you thought about it hard enough. And it might just be like, oh, I'm gonna do the lawn and garden work for this rich guy for 6 months, and it's a lot of work, but hey, I can sell it for $10,000. And I'm not saying go do that. I'm just saying, like, isn't that a crazy concept? Like, you have something right now that you could sell to someone for $10,000. So please realize that, and realize that as long as you are okay getting that money and you are okay being in sales, because that's your job, then you're going to get it and you're going to do great. So go crush it, guys. DM me at IGM Secrets. Let me know what you thought of this episode, and check out the links in the description for one, getting the Expert Secrets book this week. Okay. And then the second thing is, if you want a little bit more personal help from me, check out some of the offers that I have for just booking some time with me, in the description. All right. Love y'all. Talk to you later.